maybe you have a story to add to these. For some of us, our decision to follow Yeshua comes with a high cost. And truthfully, as tough as these situations seem, others have paid a much higher cost for their faith. And this takes us to this week's study. We'll start at Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
All of the disciples of Yeshua and many of his followers throughout history have faced horrible persecution, losing their families, beaten, stoned, hungry, burnt alive, hung on a cross. One of the greatest evidences of the truth of the gospel is the death that the early followers of Messiah faced. The fact that not only were they willing to die for their Messiah, but that each of them faced these horrific trials with such joy can only mean one thing. It proves that what they witnessed of Yeshua was true. Nobody would die for something they knew was a lie, but an even greater witness is the joy and strength we see in many facing persecution and even death.
Now it's important to note a few things about this. Followers of Yeshua don't look for persecution. We're not looking to be killed to gain some heavenly reward. Unlike terrorists who kill themselves to kill others, believers willingly walk into some of the most dangerous situations to bring life to others through Yeshua, to give, serve, and share the gospel of peace.
But it's not a suicide mission. We're always seeking to live another day to serve the Messiah. But we're not backing down from threats and trials, but pushing through the fear of rejection and trials so that we can help others. Some men sold themselves as slaves so that they could reach and help other slaves. Some took on governments and religious establishments to bring the Word of God to the world. But the key of it all is their drive of love towards their Messiah and love to other people to whom they were sent.
In 130 AD, there's a letter describing this phenomenon of persecuted believers to the Roman ruler Diognetus that summarizes their conduct and vision. They are in the flesh, but they do not live after the flesh. They pass their days on earth, but they are citizens of heaven. They obey the prescribed laws, and at the same time surpass the laws by their lives. They love all men and are persecuted by all. They are unknown and condemned. They are put to death and restored to life. They are poor, yet make many rich. They are in lack of all things and yet abound in all. They are dishonored, and yet in their very dishonor are glorified. They are evil spoken of, and yet are justified. They are reviled and blessed. They are insulted and repay the insult with honor. They do good, yet are punished as evildoers. When punished, they rejoice as if quickened into life. They are assailed by the Jews as foreigners, and are persecuted by the Greeks. Yet those who hate them are unable to assign any reason for their hatred. To sum it all up in one word, what the soul is to the body, that are Christians in the world.
This is a pretty amazing insight. There's a transformation that happens as we draw closer in our relationship with our Messiah. We start to see things not from the here and now, the struggles and trials of today, but our focus changes. We put our eyes on God and draw our strength and joy from that relationship and the eternal kingdom of God.
In the book of James, he writes to the believers scattered through the nations, encouraging them to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And as you look through the Psalms of David, you see a similar pattern. David was pursued and persecuted by Saul without cause. But in the midst of it, David gave his faith and praise to God.
Some scholars believe he wrote the 23rd Psalm and others at Ein Gedi when he was in the middle of hiding out from Saul, who had been chasing him for years. David wrote, "Adonai is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Adonai forever."
David wasn't just focused on the problems of here and now, but was looking to the reward of dwelling with God in His presence forever. Our focus can be our weakness or our strength if we choose to set our mind on God and on His love for us, to remember that even in the valley of death He is with us. We will be victorious. David believed in the midst of his hardest trials, when all seemed lost, he believed the words God had spoken to him, that God would protect him and sustain him. But beyond blessings and provision, the key aspect you can see is the close and loving relationship you see between David and God.
As followers of Yeshua, we see that He uses these trials to bring us closer to Him, strengthen and refine us. These hard times can make us the man and woman that He's called us to be. Just like with physical fitness, if you want to get stronger, you need to push yourself, and the pain you experience with the tearing of the muscles is what causes the new muscles to build stronger. In the same way, God is preparing us for greater responsibility by the trials we endure. But how do we gain the strength to endure these trials, to forgive others, and live in that sort of victory? Let's go back a few verses to see.
"Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I think this verse can be a little overwhelming when you first look at it. But remember, it didn't say perfect in action, but pure in heart. We aren't born with a pure heart. This is why we need Yeshua. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" King David knew his state as he cried for God to create in him a clean heart. And in Proverbs it says that out of the heart springs all the issues of life. So here's a few practical tips to keeping your heart right.
Bring your inner pain to the light. Admit the hurt to yourself and to God. Deal with the past and don't just keep the wounds to yourself. Invite God to help and pray over your pain and disappointments.
Number 2, forgive those who have hurt you. Forgiveness is the key of all inner healing and transformation. And it's not always others you need to forgive. Sometimes you need to forgive yourself. This requires a lot of prayer, like step 1, talk to God. But then if possible, talk to the person who hurt you.
Number 3, turn from your old behaviors. We need to take action. Don't think that just because you say you're sorry, that your behavior automatically changes too. Find practical steps to change, ways you can prevent that offense from happening again. If it's an addiction like pornography or drugs, get someone who can hold you accountable and pray with you. You may need to do physical steps to avoid the temptation. Be zealous to get rid of sin in your life and seek help from other believers to guide you in your path.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. In this section of Matthew, Yeshua was talking about character qualities, not individual acts. He was describing the process of our becoming like Himself, complete in the fullness of the qualities of God. Peacemaking is the result of that process. When our will is completely surrendered to God's will, and we are walking out our lives according to His principles, then we are considered peacemakers and sons of God.
Peacemaking is an active process. Just as Yeshua reconciled us to the Father, His call is the same for us, to bring that peace wherever we go. We're to share what Yeshua did for us, and not just talk about it, but take action to reconcile. This peacemaking isn't just between us and others or intervening to help break up fights. God also called us in the same way to help reconcile others to himself. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, "While we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life?" The biggest peacemaking task for us is to help others be reconciled to God by our Messiah, Yeshua.
And one of the greatest testimonies of this peacemaking effect is right here in Israel. Many terrorists vowed to destroy Israel and the Jewish people. After encountering Yeshua, they've now become some of her most ardent defenders and friends. The only true peace process proven to work against the most bitter of hatred is the good news of Yeshua, our Messiah.
Going back to persecution, there is a reason that the followers of Yeshua were persecuted, and that you too will face anger and hatred by people who don't believe in Yeshua. The role of a peacemaker is a very different role than a peacekeeper. Yeshua was light in the midst of darkness, but men preferred darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So they worked to put out the light. The light of Yeshua shows every sin, self-centered desire, and lifestyle that is hidden in darkness.
If you are walking with God, obeying His Word, and living a holy life, you will stand out. Living a righteous life will surely draw fire, as the life you live clearly shows unbelievers something is not right with their lives. If we endure with Yeshua, as the prophets and the great ones of old, we will share in His reward. This is an amazing promise when we believe His Word and look towards His kingdom. Then we can truly face these trials with joy, knowing as we have shared in the fellowship of His sufferings, that we will also share in the joy of His salvation and victory.
Being pure in heart, being a peacemaker, and endurance in trials are some major areas to be praying for this week. Make sure you are digging into the study guides and take the study a day at a time. Don't rush through the teachings. God may need to speak to you on one area specifically, and you may need time to process and receive prayer from another believer to help break through your problem. Connect with us if you need prayer and invest consistent time in praying and the study through the week.
Remember, like everything in life, with the amount you invest into it is the measure that you will receive. It's about building a healthy and lasting personal relationship with God and with other followers of Yeshua.
For no good tree produces bad fruit, nor does a bad tree produce good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its fruit. Figs aren't picked from thorn bushes, nor grapes from briar patches. A good person produces good things from a store of good in his heart, while an evil person produces evil from a store of evil in his heart. For his mouth speaks of the overflow of the heart. Yah wants us to be people who produce good things. Yah requires sometimes circumstances to force the dross. He heats us up, makes us uncomfortable, to force the dross, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the selfishness to the surface so that he can clean it out. He wants to bring it to our attention so that we know and we can bring it to his attention and pray through it. Even this week, even yesterday, I've been praying and praying and praying and praying a lot, and Yah brings up things that I didn't realize were there, and I had to ask forgiveness for things. But you know what? It's all about cleaning us up so that He can flow through us freely. Because Yah wants us to be that vessel that can pour out His presence. And if we got too much other stuff clogged in there, a little bit can get through. Yah wants us to be a fire hose, something that we can pour out His presence to other people. That He can touch other people and make them extremely uncomfortable. I talked a couple of weeks ago about narcissistic people. Did anyone see that or watch that or hear that? about what a narcissist is, that Esav was the perfect example of narcissist. People caught up in their own self-exaltation fantasy, where they say and do exactly the opposite. You say something, where they do exactly the opposite of what Yah wants. They're completely self-focused. You know, you've run into them, people who demand people to be inclusive but are exclusive themselves. People who say they want to destroy inequality but create it by their actions. People who say they're on crusades against racism in society but increase it by what they do and say. People who say that they're out to save everybody but destroy individuals. Oh, we haven't heard that recently, have we? Yeah? It's for the greater good, but we're going to destroy individuals, livelihood and everything else to get there. Yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah. People set standards. Who set standards of right and wrong based on their own fevered, narcissistic-based mental illnesses. Many people are only interested in power and self-exaltation. They are lying to get it, using these issues to create support for their own power bids, to serve selfish and covetous agendas. You know, there are two kinds of people in the world, I've noticed lately. I've realised there's two kinds of people. There are liars and there are people who want to live. See, lying is about controlling others. It's based on fear or lust or power. And control ultimately regards other people as objects to be used. Living is about trusting, it's about faith, it's about standing in Yah's presence and wanting what's best for all those around you, to live in peace regarding each person as an equal, a unique creation of the Most High. Yah wants us to be people who are focused on Him, who have that trust in Him, who walk with Him and who are willing to do away with the self-deception, away with the lies and away with wrongdoing in our own personal lives first. For it's written in Matthew 7:1, "Do not judge so you won't be judged. For the way you judge others is how you will be judged. The measure with which you measure out will be used to measure you. How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the splinter out of your own eye,' when you have a splinter out of your eye when you have a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly so that you can remove the splinter from your brother's eye." You can see through Yosef's brothers' human arrogance. They were always judgmental. Here's the interesting thing about narcissists. They always see their own sin in someone else. Have you noticed that? They always accuse Yosef as wanting to lord it over them. Yosef is the only guy in the Bible besides Yeshua there's no sin mentioned. Did you know that? There's no sin mentioned in Joseph's life. So he had a dream and he mentioned the dream, but he wasn't being arrogant about it at all. He was just stating what Yah had shown him. And he was excited because he knew it had come from Yah. No clue what it meant, but he ran out and said it. And they immediately interpreted as being wanting to lord it over them. Yeah? Why did they immediately think that's what he was saying? Because that's them. That's what they were thinking. That's where they had gone with their lives. They've chosen to exalt themselves as ruler and they didn't want anyone else to be. Does that make sense? You know what? Romans 13 verse 8 says, "Don't owe anyone anything except to love one another. Whoever loves his fellow human being is fulfilled the Torah. For the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, all these things are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbour as yourself. Love does not do harm to a neighbour, therefore love is the fullness of the Torah." 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, "May I speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but if I lack love, I become merely a blaring brass or a clanging cymbal. I may have a gift of prophecy, I may fathom all ministries, know all things, but have all faith enough to move mountains, but if I lack love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I own, may even hand my body to be burned, but if I lack love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, not boastful, not proud, rude or selfish. It's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not gloat over other people's sin, but takes delight in the truth. Love always bears up, always trusts, always hopes, always endures. Love never ends. But prophecies will pass, tongues will cease, knowledge will pass. For our knowledge is partial, and our prophecy partial. When the perfect comes, the partial will pass. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, and thought as a child, and argued as a child. But now I've become a man, I've finished with childish ways. Beloved friends, let's love one another because love is from God, and everyone who loves has God as his Father and knows Yehovah. Those who do not love do not know Yehovah because Yehovah is love. This is how Yehovah showed us his love amongst us, that Yehovah sent his only Son into the world so that through him we might have life. Here is what love is, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be a kapara for our sins. Beloved friends, this is how Yehovah loved us. We likewise ought to love one another. You know what? I had an experience this morning. My kids and I, we sit down and we together pray through Psalms. One or two Psalms, depending on how big the Psalm is, every morning. And then we pray and ask God's protection because we know over the last few months we're in warfare. Absolutely, we're in warfare. We're in the middle of difficulty. We're in the middle of warfare all the time. And we pray through Psalms every day and we know that when we do... They works much better. And this morning I was praying through the psalm. I was reading the psalm out. I got halfway through the second psalm and I just burst into laughter. I felt God's presence come on me and his oil of joy just fall. And I just burst, didn't I, kids? Where are they? Yeah. I burst into laughter and they're all looking at me like, you crazy person. But Yah's presence just comes on you and he puts that oil of joy on you. This is why you need to pray. He's the one that in the middle of the persecution gives you the ability to love. He's the one who gives you the ability to walk in peace. He's the one who gives you the ability not to react when they persecute and say all kinds of evil things about you. Because believe me, I've had them say all kinds of evil things about me. I've had them accuse me of all sorts of things and had a couple of psychologists sitting there watching for me to react so that they can accuse me of more. And I just felt Yah's peace come on me and it didn't bother me. It just rolled off because Yah's presence was there. So important to stay in prayer and stay in lockstep with your focus on him and not on what they're doing. Because when your focus is on him, it works like a door. You remember the bit where Peter got out of the boat and walked on water? And while he was looking at Yeshua, he was walking on the water, no problem at all. As soon as he took his eye off Yeshua and started looking at the storm and the circumstances and the things around about him, he got scared and he lost it. He started to sink. Yah needs us to keep our focus on him so that he can pour through us that confidence and that trusting faithfulness in him. If we don't keep our focus on him, it's like we close the door. Okay? Close the door. He'll still save us! But it's better if we succeed in the task he set before us. Amen? Any questions about anything I've covered so far? No? Not even the reason why Joseph didn't send his dad a letter or anything? No? While he was away? No? Okay, good. We all got that? No worries. All right. I'll move into the Yeshua Remembrance Service then. But before we do that, I just want to play the Hanukkah song again. Tamar's got something she wants to do. Would you guys like to play that again?